Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of the most useful tension devices in drum and bass, a short call and response riff that gets its power from pitch movement. Think old school rave pressure, but trimmed down so it works in a modern Ableton Live 12 session. The goal is not to write a massive melody. The goal is to make a tight, memorable phrase that answers itself. Then use that answer to push the track toward the drop. This kind of riff is everywhere in jungle, rollers, darker rave DNB, and neuro-adjacent pressure, because it does three important jobs at once. It gives the listener something to latch onto, it creates forward motion, without needing a full chord progression, and it leaves the low end free for the kick and bass to do their job. That balances everything in DNB. So let's start simple and focused. Create a new MIDI track and load a stock instrument that has a strong core tone. Waveatable is a great starting point because it can be clean, aggressive, or slightly unstable depending on how you shape it. Operator and analog can also work well, but for this lesson, Waveatable gives us a nice mix of modern control and rave attitude. Pick a saw or pulse style Waveatable. Keep the sound tight, and don't overdo the layering. If you want a second oscillator, detune it only slightly, or skip it entirely if you want a leaner stab. Set the filter somewhere in the mid-range, roughly between 2.5 and 6 kHz depending on how bright you want it. Then shape the amp envelope so the attack is fast, the decay is short, the sustain is low, and the release is short as well. We want this riff to hit like a stab, not smear across the bar. Now write the call phrase. This is the first half of the conversation. Keep it short, rhythmic, and easy to remember. A one-bar pattern is usually enough. Use only a few notes, maybe two, three, or four at most. The strength of this kind of riff comes from rhythm and attitude, not complexity. A good mindset here is to think in phrases, not notes. Ask yourself, what is the call saying? Is it clipped and direct? Is it a little rude? Is it mysterious and stripped back? Whatever the personality is, keep it focused. In DNB, a narrow idea often hits harder than a busy one. Try placing the notes around a root note and one or two nearby tones. If you're in F minor, for example, you might hover around F, Ab, and C with a few offbeat stabs and a little bit of space. That space matters. Leave a gap so the response has somewhere to land. If the call is too full, the response won't feel like a reply, it'll just feel like more notes. Once the call is working, duplicate the clip and create the response by changing pitch instead of rewriting the phrase from scratch. This is the heart of the technique. The listener should recognize the same rhythmic identity, but feel a shift in energy. You can try a few different response moves. Raise the whole phrase by two semitones for more urgency. Drop it by two or three semitones for darker weight. Push one note up an octave for a more rave-like lift. Or keep the rhythm identical and only change the last note so it feels like the idea is leaning forward. The important thing is that the response should feel like a reaction, not a new idea. If you change too much, you lose the tension of the conversation. A single strong interval is often enough to make the whole build feel like it has a personality. Now let's make the riff behave like a riser. We're not turning it into a giant cinematic effect. We're just giving the response phrase a bit more motion so it feels like it's opening up before impact. Automate the filter cutoff so the response is brighter than the call. You might start the call a little more closed, then open the response toward the end of the bar. Add a touch more resonance if you want the sound to feel more vocal or biting, but keep it controlled. A little movement goes a long way here. You can also automate the Waveatable position if you want subtle evolution, or increase the reverb send just on the response phrase so it blooms slightly more than the call. Delay feedback can help too, but use it carefully. In drum and bass, too much wash can blur the groove very quickly. A useful rule is this: the call is drier, tighter, and more direct. The response is brighter, slightly wider, and a bit more open. That contrast is what makes the second phrase feel like it's climbing. Now let's clean up the tone so it sits properly in a DNB arrangement. Add EQ8 after the synth, then a utility, and optionally a saturator. First, high pass the riff if it doesn't need low body. A cutoff somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz is a solid starting point. That keeps the riff out of the kick and bass zone. If you want a little more bite, give it a gentle lift in the upper mids, somewhere around 1.5 to 3 kHz. That's often where this kind of riff cuts best over breaks. With utility, narrow the width a bit if the patch is stereo. You don't want this thing spraying all over the mix. Around 80 to 90% width is usually plenty, and if needed you can keep it even more centered. In a club context, mono-friendly pressure is your friend. If the riff feels too polite, add a little saturator. Just a few dB of drive can help the harmonics pop through the drums. This is especially useful for the response phrase, because it can make that second half feel denser and more urgent without needing more notes. Now think about arrangement. This riff should live in a space where it supports the drums instead of fighting them. In a 16-bar intro, you might tease the call phrase every couple of bars while the drums are filtered and building. In an 8-bar pre-drop, you can place the call on one bar and the response on the next, then leave a small gap or drum fill before the drop lands. That gap is important. In D&B, silence can hit harder than another sound. A half bar of space right before the drop can make the whole phrase feel bigger, especially if the last response note cuts off sharply. If the riff is feeling too clean, too polite, or too soft, resample it. This is a very Ableton-friendly move and a great way to turn a neat synth idea into something with proper pressure. Route the track to a new audio track, record a bar or two, and then work with the printed audio. Once it's resampled, you can add drum bus, redux, or another layer of saturation to rough it up. A little crunch from drum bus can help it cut through break edits. Redux can add some gritty, old-school bite. Keep it tasteful though. You want attitude, not mush. Now let's talk about the actual tension lift. This is where the response becomes a proper pre-drop tool. Automate a few things across the last one or two bars. Raise the pitch of the response by another semitone or two if needed. Open the filter a little more. Increase the reverb send or wetness only near the end. Let the delay feedback rise briefly, then cut it hard on the drop. Maybe give the volume a subtle lift too, but don't rely on a huge swell. The key is restraint. A good D&B riser usually feels modular and rhythmic, not overblown. We want the riff to feel like part of the groove, not some separate FX layer pasted on top. So keep your automation choices clear and intentional. Usually two or three moves are enough. Now check the riff in context. Soloing is useful for sound design, but the real test is how it behaves with the full drum and bass relationship. Put it over a breakbeat loop and a simple sub-pattern. Listen for three things. First, does it support the drum energy or does it clutter the groove? Second, does it still make sense in mono? Use utility to collapse it if needed and make sure the main notes still read clearly. Third, does it stay out of the low mid space where the snare and bass need to live? If it starts fighting the mix, simplify before you start piling on more processing. Shorten the note lengths. High pass a little more. Cut some low mids around 250 to 500 Hz if it's masking the snare. If it disappears in mono, don't immediately widen it more. Instead, add harmonics with saturation and keep the stereo movement under control. That's a big D&B lesson right there. Clarity under pressure is what makes things feel powerful. If you want to push the concept further, try a few variations. Make the response slightly off-grid for a more human, jittery feel. Duplicate the response an octave higher and filter it heavily so it only adds a bright edge underneath. Alternate between two interval choices, like up two semitones in one phrase and down three semitones in the next. Or keep the notes the same, but move the gaps around so the rhythm feels like it's answering back more aggressively. You can also layer a very quiet, bright accent on the response only. Think of it like a highlight rather than a second instrument. It can add just enough extra spark to make the answer phrase feel more urgent. For darker or heavier tracks, remember this. The best move is often not more harmony, but more attitude. A single recurring interval can become the identity of the entire build section. Small pitch changes can feel huge when the sound is tight and the timing is clean. So here's the recap. Build a short, memorable call phrase. Duplicate it and make the response by transposing, not rewriting. Use filter automation, subtle width control, and a little saturation to turn the second phrase into a rising tension device. Keep the riff above the sub range, leave space for the drums, and always check it in the full mix. In drum and bass, the strongest riffs are usually the ones that feel inevitable. They lock to the break, leave room for the bass, and make the drop feel like it had to happen. That's the pressure we're after. For your practice, try building a two-bar riff with only three notes, then make a second version, where the response is brighter and more open. Resample it, rough it up a little, and test it against two different breaks. If it works on both, you've got a real tension tool you can use anywhere in the arrangement. All right, let's get into Ableton and make that riff talk back.